So I'll be speaking about the about open office org around the globe, the native land conservation. You don't know, actually you do not see anything in this, but actually it's not really useful. I'd be just talking to you just like Lewis did. It's much more convenient, I guess. And you'll be of course able to have all the presentations available on the open office org website. So the Native Land Confederation, just to tell you more about it, I think the very first question that needs to be asked is a question that John is now famous for having asked. Why? So why the Native Land Confederation? Well, there are several needs and several goals and several reasons that have led to the creation of the structure inside OpenOffice.org. First of all, the need to foster OpenOffice.org in every language in the world. Second, providing a home for the native language communities in OpenOffice.org. Then, supporting users in their own native language, which is essential, were it only for reasons pertaining to comfort. And then, last but not least, growing the OpenOffice.org market and mindshare. Mindshare being as equally important as the rest. So, really, if we had to come up with a motto about the confederation, well, there, several of them go through my mind, and people have suggested me several things. But I think one of them is quite interesting. It is think local, act global. Why? Native language projects grow the manpower of the OpenOffice.org project. It helps bringing developers to the project, but it also brings other contributions that are as useful as the pure development income. QA, documentations, new idea, enhancements, extensions, templates, artwork, etc., etc., etc. OpenOffice.org, and this is what you should know, of course, is not a company nor a commercial product. There is no real product strategy outside the marketing, communication, and press release system. But the success and growth of OpenOffice.org is being built locally with the users and its potential adopters. Thus, the Native Land Confederation helps bringing a wealth of ideas and information to the OpenOffice.org development team. OpenOffice.org in turn integrates the inputs of the Confederation and enhances both its software and its projects. We had, of course, just like in any structures, our own set of challenges, our own set of failures, and our set of successes, of course. I think if we were to speak about the present and the future challenges, I'm seeing some of them as being, being outlined particularly these days. I think educating potential developers is a very, very important task. Internally speaking, closing the walled garden effect is also highly important. What is the walled garden effect? The walled garden effect comes when you have a structure that has over 80, so to say 90 native language communities, and that some of them do not communicate with the outside world. Some of them are totally lost inside the confederation. They do not know where they are, they do not know what they should do outside localizing and supporting their users. They have no interaction with the confederation at large, but even more important, they do have no interaction with the rest of the OpenOffice.org project. And so if we have to basically close and break the walled garden effect, this would in turn start to bring much more life into these projects, and in turn, bring more developers, resources, information back to the central project. Then solving common internationalization and localization issues. This is of course something that is, you know, that has been a question for, I'd say, you know, the very beginning of OpenOffice org. You know, it's not just in the product. I was actually thinking more about the internationalization, localization problems pertaining to IssueZilla. You know, a very big question, for instance, is should we localize the IssueZilla interface? This has been quite a great question because many people are not comfortable with the English language. They simply do not have English as their mother tongue, and they do not master it to the point that they could be proficient at using it and at working with the OpenOffice online tools. So that's for instance, a very good question. Then you have working at the what we call the globalization. And here I'd like to thank Sun Microsystems for the help they've been providing us. Globalization being basically the how to harmonize the common terms and glossaries that are used in software. And basically it means that you have to have some kind of a unified approach to these problems. And this is what the globalization initiative at Sun is working on. Then you have harmonizing the documentation, both end user and developer. We had a great time yesterday, the NLC meeting, talking about this. And this is actually a very important issue because we want to come up with a unified set of documentation, a translated one that would be used by any users in any native LAMP project. Then you have, of course, the support of the native LAMP community's promotional works. Many native LAMP projects are actually extremely good at marketing. Why? First of all, they actually feel the ground. They know what to say to their communities, and they know what to say in their language. They know what to say in the countries and the areas they're covering. This is highly important because they actually start to do these things in order to grow their local market share, and sometimes they actually manage to do so. I would have plenty of examples. I could speak about somebody who's not here, and I'll do this on purpose. I could speak about Catalonia. You see, we have a, you know, very old native LAMP project, which is called the CA native LAMP project, Catalonian native LAMP project. Well, these people have been doing extraordinary things on a marketing point of view. They've been, you know, they've been distributing OpenOffice org in Catalan in about, I think, 250,000 copies. 250,000 copies were distributed inside the largest Catalonian newspaper one day. And actually, the operation was a great success. Then they went up to the local government and they explained that OpenOffice.org was about the only suite that was not only free software or standards compliant, but that was also the only suite that was being localized, fully localized in Catalonia. So to say, they were kind of very, very, well, you know, they were lucky because Jesus Corius, the lead of the Catalonian project and the lead of the Soft Catala project, is also the one who invented the first glossary, the first IT glossary, technical glossary, for Catalonia, for the Catalonian language. So basically, you can see that kind of, you know, quality we can have inside this project. Also, and also on the list of the present and future challenges, there is another one that comes to my mind, which is pooling resources between the native LAMP projects. This is a long-term task that I've been working on and that is starting to bear its fruit. Basically, the thing is that, you know, native LAMP projects are not equal in terms of resources, skills, manpower, time, whatever. So the point is to actually make these people work together. And in order to make them work together, you have to find a common ground. And sometimes when you have a structure with 90 projects, just belonging to this structure is just not enough. So what you have to do is that you have to find a common ground and let people work in much smaller groups. And this is how the idea of the what we call the native land groups started to emerge. Right now we have, I think, four native land groups. A group is basically a group of native land projects that have been formed, you know, according to some kind of, ad hoc linguistic, historical, or economic criteria, basically, and they basically pulling resources, whether it comes from marketing or technical development or localized QA or common internationalization, localization questions. So now we have, for instance, the Asian CJK group gathering the Chinese project, the Korean project, the Japanese project, and they are working together towards solving the most critical and common internationalization issues. And they are also working on local marketing, which is highly important. Then you have the Eurasian Native Land Group. The Eurasian Native Land Group is a huge group. It does basically encompass the former USSR area, plus the Turkish languages. It actually is very coherent because given the abundance of both Russian Slavic languages and Turkish languages inside these inside Central Asia, it does make sense. So now this group has the Russian project, the Turkish project, Georgian project, Azeri project, Ukrainian project, Tajik projects, what else? I don't know. One or two others. So it's a pretty big group, and the thing they're doing is that they're constantly pushing towards the adoption of open office org and free software all over Central Asia. And they are very good at that. They're very good at basically penetrating these entire areas that were formerly kind of closed to us. Then you're having another project, another group, which is quite informal. But it is informal for many kind of reasons. I would call it the RTL group, right to left group. It is basically, I'm pretty proud of that. It is the coming together of the Arabic and Hebrew native land projects. They are both working on common RTL, right to left, and bidirectional issues for OpenOffice.org. It's kind of a symbol. They do not hide their collaboration, but in the meantime, we just don't want to, put this absolutely, in front of the headlines. We did once, but these people are driving something that is extremely, extremely useful for everybody because, there's a thing to be said about office suites. They were not being made in areas other than North America or Europe. So basically what it means is that the technology that was used, the way it was designed, was not thought in the first hand for people using right-to-left languages or vertical languages. It does exist. For instance, Urdu, was it Urdu or some language in Central Asia? It's both right-to-left and then vertical. You can write it the way you want, basically. So all these languages, and I'm not even speaking about the Chinese and Korean and Japanese characters. Yeah, they're like complex CTL languages. They're just a pain as well. It's very, very, very difficult to have something, to have some kind of great layout, accurate layout for these languages. And all this basically could one day, and has already, stopped the adoption of OpenOffice.org and other software in Asia. So we have to work on this, and these people are working on this. And so, this is very effective. Then you have, and I'm sad to say this, you have governance and representation issues have to be solved. Basically, as you know, we have grown a lot, and by the time I have seen, at least this year, it's a pretty new thing, a number of local governance issues. Dispute between the leads, disputes inside the native land communities, conflicting business interests of all kinds. Actually, I've been spending, because it takes a long time, I've been spending the last year, I think it was 6 months in total, dealing with a small number of projects, but a significant one. A small number of projects who had these kind of issues, and it takes a long time. Basically, the only explanation I have, beyond the mere fact of, you know, of human nature, is that OpenOffice.org is becoming so successful that greed and jealousies are starting to enter our perimeter, I would say. And, you know, I think we can't really do anything about this, but it is, I would say, a growing pattern. I hope it will stabilize itself, but I'm not quite sure. I just, you know, we'll see this next year. And then, last but not least, end users should be able to find relevant information when and where needed. And I have the best example for this. It is the language packs. You know, the language packs was a great idea. The language packs was, you know, if you cannot find, for whatever reasons, your localized build of OpenOffice.org in your language, what you do is very simple. You take a pristine, a vanilla build of OpenOffice.org, you download it, you'll see it, it will be in English, but then you download a very small lang pack. I think it was like 14 mega, is that, yeah, around 14 mega, I could be wrong, but well, around this size. You download it, you basically install it, and then boom, you have your localized version of OpenOffice.org. And this is a great idea. I'm totally going for it, and we're basically letting the choice to users. The only thing is that for several kinds of reasons, some of them being related to QA, but others just being due to being related to our own personal laziness, the lang packs are not visible. I keep receiving mails, and I know that many people actually have to answer this question. I keep receiving mails inquiring about lang packs. Hello, my name is XYZ. I'm coming from this country. Do you have the lang packs for this? And every time it ends up like this, I'm just saying, well, ask your native lang project. I know that you do have a fully localized versions, but if you are actually looking for the lang pack, ask your native lang project. And the thing is that even inside the native lang project, the exact location of those lang packs is sometimes not really clear. So we gotta change this. So now I'd like to speak about something that is a bit more solid: facts, figures, and status updates. So right now we have about 85 native lang projects plus two that are in the works. Two that are in the works meaning that I did not open the issue yet. And I'll be doing that when I'll be coming back to Paris, and Louis will take up from there. So we have 85 native lang projects, level 1 and level 2 being confounded. Just a small point, but level 1 and level 2 projects. Level 2 projects are full native lang projects. Level 1 projects are basically localization only project, but who need and who have, you know, who intend to become a full-fledged native lang project. More than 50% of the downloads on the servers registered by our Mirrors project, which is basically huge. We are a bit more than the majority of the downloads for OpenOffice.org. Knowing that this trend was supposed to basically grow, but it did not, because with the 2.0 we had a surge of English-speaking people being interested in OpenOffice.org. OpenOffice.org is also available in the 10 most spoken languages in the world, and is available, of course, far beyond those languages. Millions of computers migrated to OpenOffice.org thanks to our dense network of native lang communities. However, the ASEAN and Pacific region is still underrepresented. More than that, native lang websites are underused. The wiki should help bringing them back on track. Yes, we now have a wiki, and of course native lang projects are absolutely encouraged to use that. some final thoughts. A native land project is a tremendous amount of work, but it is vital and crucial to OpenOffice.org. It can help saving a minority language from death. Yes, it is true. Actually, thanks to our Catalonian friends, for instance, we're opening a new project, which is called Minorlingua. Minorlingua is basically a wiki that is helping to the localization of software in very minor languages. And it is very important, I think. Language and Office Suite are important one towards each other. When you are basically using an Office Suite, what you are using is your mind and thoughts, and that you're basically editing, creating content and information. That is, you're basically thinking in your own language. And this is why an Office Suite is very, very important in terms of localization. You are thinking with your language. It is not just a browser. It's not backwards nor forwards. It's much more complex than that. The Native Lang project is one of the greatest achievements of OpenOffice.org. I know it's a very easy stance, but yes, this is true. The Native Lang project and the Native Lang Confederation is a great place to be, and it is a group of great people. And as a final comment, I am honored to help them since 5 years from now. Well, first of all, thank you. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask them. Yes, Andre?
You just mentioned the Minorlingua.
Yeah.
Is this only about the giving tips about localization, or are you going to establish something like a community about minor language groups?
I think you should ask them a question. It's not just about localization. It is also about internationalization. It just covers the entire spectrum. The idea is basically to help people who are not really experienced in IT, but who basically want to save their language. You know, you have linguists, and these people need to have the tools in order to work on OpenOffice or Mozilla or whatever. So I don't have the entire plan, but I can basically give you the context. Yes. Sorry, I didn't hear it. Yes, actually the thing with, it is one of the mission of any native land project to have a translated documentation. If it's not translated, it can come up with its own documentation. The problem being right now that is being fairly unequal. If you look at any, you know, every native land project, some have translated documentation, others have none, others have different things, so yeah. But it's supposed to be part of their mission.
I think you meant the online help files.
The GUI, the online help.
Yeah. It basically it's part of the localization process. So yes, the online help file is supposed to be translated. Absolutely. Claudio, you had a question.
About the numbers. I think that. In native language, we need to have more data about the adoption of OpenOffice around the world. Exists some plan, because I know that today haven't this number, but we have a plan to work with this.
Yeah. The thing is that we're on the OpenOffice or wiki, we have a page about the major deployments. But we are only talking about the major deployments. Honestly, I could tell you about things that are happening in India. For instance, I could tell you about millions of desktops. This is the information that keeps Steve Ballmer awake at night. I cannot tell you how many desktops that have been migrated or are in the process of being migrated. But this is huge. Millions. Would be a great figure. I know it's actually pretty hard to count this, because first of all, you got the official major deployments, and then you have what the native lang leads will tell you, what the volunteers will tell you. But then even these people, even if they have a firm grip Look at France, look at where we are. Thanks to the French community, thanks to Sophie Gauthier, we know the major deployments. We know that those that are under on the works, you know. But you know, any company out there, and I'm you know, I've been hearing about companies, small, medium, large companies, they're moving to OpenOffice.org. They're not working with the native language French, with the Francophone native language project. We're not hearing about them. We will be hearing about them, you know, per chance or in the newspaper. So it's fairly, you know, fairly hard, fairly difficult to keep track of those. But millions, yes, millions. We have millions of seats. You know, we're bigger than Apple.
No, I understood. The question is because when I think if it is or not interesting to adopt OpenOffice,
mm-hmm.
when I talk with CIO, I need to speak company X, Y, W use OpenOffice. It is a marketing question.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a page on the major deployment. Let me lose here too.
Claudio, you're asking, to rephrase your question, if I understood it correctly, is there anything in the roadmap or in the future that would allow us to track how many millions of users are using OpenOffice.org? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, sure.
Proposal, I'll be making.
You try it to do this. I remember, but I think that
let
is
answer.
Important.
Let me finish. We need to install a widget in the application that calls home when people download it from OpenOffice.org site.
Which would cause some trolls.
No, it'll cause less controversy than you think, although Andre shaking his head. That will happen soon. I think that will happen soon. I'm hoping that will happen soon, because otherwise we can only guess how many users there are of OpenOffice.org. Unlike Firefox, there's no other way of tracking it unless you use, say, Google methods of sampling. And that's imprecise.
Sir?
Yeah, Charles. How do we deal with political and legal issues in localization?
We do skate on thin ice, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Because some of these languages are considered to, I guess some of them minority, officially minority languages, but some are considered to be forbidden.
Yeah. Well, you see, we have several, yeah. Here's the thing, actually, the fact that we're language-based and not country-based helps a lot. Let me give you an example. You see, you have, there is a language called Tatar, okay? Tatar is being spoken in, say, Russia, mainly around Kazan in Tatarstan, and also in Ukraine, near Crimea. For Tatar-speaking people in Ukraine, there is absolutely no problem. There are people just speaking regularly the language and having their minority thing. However, for people living in Tatarstan, you can speak Tatar, but you have to use Cyrillic. That is, you have to basically use an alphabet that Tatar never actually used. And this is the people of Tatarstan telling me this. This is made in order to refrain people to speak Tatar, because it just basically transformed the entire language into a weird dialect that nobody ever spoke. So this is what we did. We're language based. And anybody, let's say I'm living in the United States or in France. Well, I could speak Tatar and I could open a Tatar native language project. Here's another thing. Scottish Gaelic is not a forbidden,
for example, a century.
You know, yeah, like Highlander and so forth, but, you know, so Scottish Gaelic is not a prohibited minority language, but it is definitely a minority language that is only being spoken around, like, you know, 250,000 people. Mostly in the north of Scotland, in the Orkney Islands, okay? Now, these people, most of the times, do not have, the time nor the skills to actually create a Scottish Gaelic native language project. Yet the Scottish executive founded one. it was kind of a failure because they basically only paid for one copy and never basically sustained the project. Now what's happening right now is that there are people, obviously with Scottish roots, given their names, who are living in the United States, in Australia, and they went to me and says, hey, we want to restart the project and we want to localize it because we feel, hey, you know, it's just fun. We just don't want to lose this language. So let's start. So this is, in terms of politics, this is absolutely not a problem. But just to tell you, the language, the fact that we're language-based, helps solving many issues. Because you are not constrained by the law of the country. Yeah? You mean training materials for, basically, native language projects localize the software, they support the users, they promote open office hours, so they do local marketing, they do localized, they work on the localized quality assurance, which is very important. They develop extensions, sometimes they do develop dictionaries of their own. They write documentation, they develop every kind of training material. You know, everything is kind of done according to the local contingencies, so, Any other questions? Are we done? Okay. Well, thank you very much, and bon appétit.